Welcome to Uniquely Loved, a celebration of authenticity and divine inspiration. We are encouraged to be our own unique, authentic selves. Join me, Tech Witch Nikki, as we discuss spiritual gifts and skills we can develop and enhance, speak with amazing people using their skills in a variety of ways, and explore the different ways to connect to the wonders of the universe. Hello, my loves. I am excited to introduce to you Heather Daniel. Now, she is a psychic medium mentor who assists newly awakened souls in overcoming their fears, making sense of the metaphysical, and opening up to spiritual gifts. She is passionate about helping others tap into their own spiritual powers. Heather Daniel didn't always know she had abilities. Once she discovered how to use them, her life transformed. She began to feel supported, loved, guided, and close to the spiritual realms, which completely changed her whole life. Now she helps others do the same with their own lives. She is the host of the podcast, The Spiritual AF Life. She is the founder of the Spiritual AF Academy and the author of the book, Anxiety to Angels. Heather, welcome so much to the show.
Thank you so much for having me and that awesome introduction. I'm so excited to dive into this conversation with you.
Oh, me too. Oh, can you tell us a little bit about your journey?
Oh my gosh. Yes. I love my journey. And I think that once you start going down your spiritual path, you look back on your journey and you're just thinking like, wow, this was a ride. Never ever thought that I would end up here. Never thought in a million years that I would be a psychic medium, that I would be like the spiritual teacher that I am. I actually am completely different than a lot of my psychic mediumship mentors. You know, every single one of them always tells stories about how, oh, they were little and they knew that they had gifts and they felt different. And, you know, they like, oh, I seen my grandmother after she passed away. Like I used to always like just be so stunned with these stories. And why couldn't it happen to me? Why isn't it happening to me? Like I was jealous of every person that even had like an invisible friend. I pretended to have an invisible friend because I wanted one. But then as I got older, I got really, really scared of anything paranormal. Do you remember Unsolved Mysteries? Yeah. Yes. And so I still have like in my mind, like episodes where they either talk about ghosts or they talk about auras, and that scared the crap out of me. But I think that somewhere deep down, I knew that there was more. I knew that there was, you know, ghosts and they existed. Like that is something that was taboo. You never talked about in our house. Anytime that anything ever happened, they would be like, oh, ghosts don't exist. But I think that I was such an empath growing up and I could feel the emotions of other people around me. And I think that I was just so incredibly scared of it because I didn't know and I didn't understand anything about it. And even though my mom married a sorcerer when I was a teenager, I got to learn a lot about magic, but it still didn't open me up to my abilities or to my gifts. It never allowed me the information that everybody can be a psychic medium. In fact, my sorcerer stepfather took me to see a psychic one time, and this was just to meet her because he knew her on a personal level. And I was just scared. No. I was like, oh my God, she's a psychic. Like I didn't get a reading by her or anything like that, but I was like, is she reading my mind right now? And then just moving and going forward, what ended up happening was out of the blue, I was, I think, 28, 29 years old, I started having seizures at work. And I remember as my body fell to the ground, my first ever grand mal seizure, I remember hearing this voice inside my head. And I didn't tell anybody this for years, but the voice screamed at me and it yelled, enough. And what ended up happening, I was inside in and out of the hospital, and all of a sudden, like doctors had no reasons on why these seizures were happening. And I was having them almost like on a daily basis. Oh, wow. And going in and out and crack, oh my gosh, raking up medical bills. And that's why I ended up getting married, you know, because I was like, my boyfriend at the time was like, hey, we're gonna be in a lot of debt. And I'm like, I know. And so what ended up happening though is I went ahead and I started going down the spiritual side. One of my friends ended up having an uncle that gave me a reading, and that kind of opened up the floodgates. And then after that, I really started meditating. And like I tell people, I was too scared to meditate. So I actually found a monastery with monks that I could actually meditate with because I felt safer with monks. You get that, oh, yeah. Right? How people are. Yes. So I was like too scared. I had been through a lot of trauma in my life, and I couldn't trust my environment just for a few minutes while I closed my eyes. I even tried to like back up against the wall and, like, okay, Heather, try to meditate with your eyes open. But meditating with the monks, it helped me see a couple of things. The first thing is that it was safe and you were okay. They provided me a safe space. The other thing too is that they were very much like, it doesn't matter how you do it. You don't have to be perfect. Because I remember even being like trying to meditate right, and they would always have a Q&A session afterwards. There was not many people that went to the monastery that I went to, and I'm in Metro Detroit, y'all. So these monasteries are everywhere. And I went there, and I was maybe just me and one other person usually were there for the meditation, especially in the evening. They do it twice a day. And I remember one time being like, how do you meditate? Like, can I slouch over? You guys are all sitting differently. And they were just like, no, if slouching over is comfortable for you, then do it. And so I started learning about it. And then it just kept on progressing. I started getting information during meditations. And then finally, my day job basically told me that I was going to be fired if I didn't go to Virginia and do some training there. And when I was in Virginia, I didn't have my husband anymore. I didn't have my son. I only seen them once a month. And what ended up happening was I found a development circle. And so I got to explore more of my spiritual side, lied to my husband, told him I was going to meditation practice, but I wasn't. I was going to psychic and mediumship school. And after 5 years of being married, having to tell my husband, oh, I'm a psychic medium now. Can you imagine that conversation? And that's how it started.
That is amazing.
Yes, I think it's really interesting too, just because it's like, telling my husband, like, hey, I'm learning this. I think that it shows and it proves to other people that it's like, you don't have to know that you even have this gift. You don't have to have had a lot of experiences in the past. This is something that everybody is innately born with. It's like our birthright. And as soon as I learned about this, and I remember sitting in like the circle for like months and not being able to connect, being like, oh, I wish I could talk to past loved ones. Oh, I wish I could do this. I'm getting nothing, just like in awe by all the talent that was around me. But as soon as I learned how they communicated with me and I caught it, I was like, oh, everybody needs to know this. And by that time, I just excelled in my abilities because I found it fascinating. I figured out how they communicated with me. And then by the time that I left the circle and moved back up here to Michigan again, it was like everybody wanted a reading with me. I had already started my spiritual business. You know what I mean? It was something that I was just so incredibly passionate about.
Awesome. I know it's different for everyone on how they connect with us and everything. So it can get really confusing. It's like, well, is that my sign? No, is that my sign? Wait, that's just my thought. Or wait, did I know that? So
Oh my
we start
gosh.
second guessing everything and then we gaslight ourselves anyways because we're conditioned to. It's like, oh no, that's just your
Oh.
imagination. No, that's spirit.
And I love how you said that you were gaslighting ourselves. It's so funny because you hear that term a lot now with, oh, people are gaslighting you, your spouse, your ex did, maybe even your parents or something. But we never really hear the term or talk about you're gaslighting yourself. Like you're abusing you, like, and that's one thing that I learned on my spiritual journey is that I became my own best friend. Finally, instead of fighting it, you ended up just almost, I don't want to say falling in love with yourself in a stuck up, conceited kind of way, but you fall in love with it on such a deeper level that it not only do you end up loving yourself more, but that you do end up loving other people
Oh,
more.
yeah. And I found, at least in my journey, the more that I embraced the love of myself in all my different aspects, even when I was feeling low and everything, that opened me up to even greater connection with my guides.
Oh my gosh. Yes, that would kind of reminds me of, not just telling my husband that I was a psychic medium, but going ahead and now telling my family and my friends and them finding out, because that was really, really, really tough. Because it was like, okay, I'm going to have a level of confidence and love in myself that I never ever had before. Because it's like, I love reading people I don't know. I have no idea who you are because there's no judgment, there's no nothing. But it's like, then my friends wanted to start having readings with me, and a lot of them were open to it. So that was really good. A lot of my family members were not open to it, but it's almost where you have to just like let your freak flag fly. You just have to be freaking just you. And, if you don't like it, then, I'm sorry. But it's like, don't you allow other people to be their true self, no matter who they are? So why wouldn't they be open and accepting to who I am?
Right.
Yeah.
It's
So we're going down some rabbit holes.
like, why would you give somebody else the courtesy that you're not giving yourself?
Bam, bingo.
And when I started on my path, I was terrified of actually telling my husband because he grew up Catholic. And Went to church and everything else as a kid growing up, and it was just like, oh gosh, how's he gonna take this? Because I have a past relationship that was super religious, and they used that against me. So I was like, oh gosh, let's heal. We're gonna heal some stuff here. And he was completely supportive because he's open-minded. He's like, it don't matter how you connect a spirit, they're all aspects of the creator. It doesn't matter what name you give it or them or whatever.
Oh my, what's so crazy is my husband grew up Catholic too, went to Catholic school, the nuns, like the whole entire thing. So that is so freaking crazy that we have that in common. And then, yeah, my husband was open-minded. He was definitely a little bit more, I would say, like skeptical, because it's not something that was ever part of our thing, our marriage. We never really talked about it. And it's so funny because I'm like looking back, we've been married now for 12 years, but I'm like looking back and I remember the day that I told him, and then, showing him my progress, like my first readings that I ever did. And then I used to run downstairs after readings and be like, I got this hit and this happened and no way. And, the first time doing readings with him. And now it's like we do paranormal investigations together, we do ghost hunting together. Like, this is like insane. Never thought that I would ever have this kind of relationship. I don't think he did either.
You all get to be weird and fabulous together.
Oh my God, yes. And I'm like, we're that couple now. But it's so much fun. And I do have to say something just in case, this resonates with anybody that's listening. But it's like your spouse, your friends, your family might be on the fence. They might be skeptic. That's fine. They have their own path and you have yours. Your job is just to go down your path and you do you. And so one of the things that I had always done in my journey, and when I wasn't even sure where I was going or doing, I would just keep on doing me and just making what makes me happy. And I remember one time I used to be really into the show Ghost Hunters back in the day, but I hadn't watched it in years. And so finally I'm sitting down, I have some time, and I'm going to watch some Ghost Hunters, And I remember my husband came up and he was like, you're watching that? And I could feel like this judgment in his voice. And I remember thinking, like, just turn it off, Heather, just turn it off. Like, you don't have to be into any of this kind of stuff. Like, you don't have to watch these shows. You don't have to do anything like that because, like, he's right. This might be stupid. And then I was like, no. And I remember sitting down being like, no, I'm going to freaking finish watching the show. I'm going to do it. I'm going to, love myself enough. I wanted to watch this. I'm going to, he watches a whole bunch of shows that I don't like. So I'm going to keep on doing it. And that, I swear to gosh, it just like opened up Pandora's box, because then he sat down next to me and he was asking questions and stuff like that. And I knew a little bit about it because I had watched them before. And I feel like that just kind of opened up the floodgates, because then all of a sudden, like, he wanted to watch another episode. Oh yeah, there's another ghost hunting show. And that's kind of opened him up a little bit. So I always tell people, like, you do you, and if they're meant to follow, they will. If not, just keep on going. Does that make
Oh, it
sense?
totally does. And when you're empathic, we take on the emotions that we feel based off of our conditioning, our past experiences. So you automatically felt judged and everything, where he might have meant it a little more like, what the heck is this? And then he immediately gravitated ch to show interest, but you are breaking that trigger right then and there. You're just like, nope, I'm gonna do me. And to heck with what he says.
Yes. And it's hard to
Yes.
do. Like, anybody that's an empath that's listening is like, oh yeah, this is really freaking hard, but freaking do it, because it's like as soon as you break through that, you have no idea what's on the other side of that wall. So I love exactly what you're talking about.
And there is so much more support out there than so many people think. It's like, just because somebody presents a certain way doesn't mean they're not open-minded. And those who are closed-minded, just they're probably not your people.
Yes, exactly. I used to go ahead and I used to like be really upset, like, oh, so and so doesn't like me anymore, or I lost this person and that kind of thing. But I don't, because I'm just always thinking the exact quote what you just said. They're not part of my people. They're not my people right now. Maybe they're gonna be my person again later on. But right now, in this moment of time, it's almost like that quote that people say all the time, which is, people come in your life for a reason or for a season. And so it's like, it's all right. It's almost like Hakuna Matata your whole life. That's like my philosophy. Hakuna Matata it.
Yeah, and that can be, oh, that can be so hard to get into that mindset when you're, a people pleaser, chronic overthinker, dealing with certain issues where, you have to meet expectations, or, people who feel like their love is conditional.
And I used to be so much like that. And I think that's the reason why that I had my seizures as well, is because I feel like it was like almost like a nervous breakdown with my body. And I believe that voice that yelled enough was yelling enough about that, because I was so much about like the external world. I was so much like, is so and so mad at me? What's going to happen? And I didn't realize a lot of this was trauma responses as well. You know, it's like also on how I've been conditioned. But then going down your spiritual path, you know that spiritual path is all inward. We're always trying to connect to our spirit guides and our past loved ones and our angels and stuff like that. But it's almost funny because it's like when you come down to it, it's coming back to inside. It's coming back to yourself because it's all connection, you know? And then the more that you trust in something that's bigger than yourself, which ultimately ends up being yourself in some ways, then all of a sudden you get this confidence in life and you start realizing like, oh my gosh, like I don't have to be worried and stressed all the time. You know, like universe has my back, or I have my back, or I feel guided. I still feel supported. You know, if anything that comes my way, I understand, you know, that there's something bigger than me happening, and I may not understand it, and this might suck for a little while. But the thing is, like Buddha said, life is temporary. You know, suffering is temporary. Everything is temporary.
Oh, yeah. And when we can get a higher perspective on everything that we're going through and be like, oh, there's a lesson in that particular incident, or there's some wisdom there. How can I incorporate that into my healing or my practice or even just moving forward?
And I think too, a lot of people, they have a tendency to go towards the negative on things too, like when things happen. And the thing is, it might not always be a positive thing, but like I remember my mom unexpectedly passed away, and we only had like a 3 week notice from the time that she was diagnosed to the time she passed. And I remember as soon as I got the phone call that she had passed, I just remember just looking up and being like, I cannot wait to find out the reason why you had to leave like this and right away. Like, I could not wait. And I had forgotten that I actually had connected to her in the hospital. And I did not remember that I told my sister, because my sister, you know, people will come into your life when they need you. Okay. My sister is super duper religious, definitely on the fence. But as soon as mom gets sick, Heather, connect what's going on. And I remember I connected and be like, mom is leaving to go to the other side because somebody else is going to pass away. And she wants to be there for them when they pass. Not even like 6 months later to the day, her little sister, my aunt, passes away. Completely out of the blue. No, like literally just didn't wake up one day. At 57 years old, I think my aunt was. And so that was traumatizing. But instead of going ahead and looking at everything, you know, from a sad point of view, and it was very sad, you know, I love my freaking aunt, I love my freaking mom, you know, love all of them, miss them to dearly, grieving just like any other person. But in the same token, I'm like, I got some signs that things were going to happen with my mom. I also got that one sign, something was going to happen with my Aunt Judy. And sometimes there might be signs and sometimes there might not be signs. But the thing is, the way that I looked at it is like, this is all orchestrated by something bigger than me. You know, this is all part of a grander plan. No matter what big things happen in life or small little things, I always adopt the philosophy that things are happening for me and not to me, even though I don't understand what the heck it is. And sometimes I'm like, I'm not sure about you, but sometimes, you know, like the soul contract that apparently we signed when we come down here, sometimes I'm like, I cannot wait to see that contract because I signed that thing under duress. There is no way I signed up for all this SHIT when I came down here. Do you ever feel that way?
I have, and I've since learned that there's a lot of different theories or beliefs that, you know, it's this is all kind of just like, you know, when you go into a VR video game and, you know, we signed up for an experience. It's like, okay, I want to experience this, this, and this. Yeah, it's going to be heavy. It's going to suck. But I want to learn and go through it, grow through it, and see if we can find balance. For me, particularly, it was balancing out a lot of my past lives, balancing the divine feminine, the divine masculine within me. Because I've been a warrior, I've been a nurturer, and this lifetime I get to do both. So it's been really interesting. And I do want to say, for anybody who is interested in soul contracts, you can change them because we can co-create with fate.
Yes. And I love so much that you said that about the soul contracts. It kind of reminds me of this though. Like we have a lot of free will within our life, you know. It's like not like we have like this is definitely all going to happen. But it reminds me of, think of your life almost like as a movie. I think you might have heard this analogy before, but it's like you are the star of your movie and all of your family and friends are all your stars and stuff like that. But it's like, what makes a good movie? Is it when everything is always happy, go lucky, and everything is great and there's no plot twists and there's no turns and stuff like that? No, that doesn't make a good movie. You know, like it's when like they get into the suck and they get out of it and maybe there's another plot twist and this crazy stuff happens. That's the thing, is like when I go to the other side and I transition, like I cannot wait. I want them to do my life review and I want my spirit guides like jaw to drop and he'd be like, Heather, this was the most freaking insane life ever. And I'm gonna like, it kind of makes me excited. So sometimes when challenges and stuff like that happens, I'm like, give it to me, baby. You know?
That is an excellent mindset.
I try. Every single day I think about that. And then I'm like, oh, instead of just thinking like, am I going to regret what I do or don't do today, like, for tomorrow or a year from now, I think about when I die, like how am I going to feel if I did or did not do this? And so, or if I could just break through some of these barriers. And same thing kind of with the past lives too. So anytime I see challenges that are circling in my life and I see these common things keep on happening, I always try to break them because I think about not just breaking them now and being happier and better, but then also, who knows if this could help out future incarnations. Do you think about stuff like that? I totally do.
I do too, especially since everything started opening up and it's like, wait, what? Wait, this, because we're all connected anyways. So the more we heal ourselves, we heal not only our ancestry and our family line, but we heal our past lives and all those ancestral lines. Because there's some people who follow along, the same family, same, bloodline or whatnot. And then there's other, like me, I bounced around the entire world.
Oh, I love that. Like in past lives. Oh, yeah, that's been a great topic. Past lives have been coming up a lot in like my community and area and stuff like that. So I definitely think that there's something happening if they got on a global connection with that.
Oh yeah.
So I think that's a good
There's a
point.
lot of stuff clearing out because there's do you follow I don't know what they're called, Bashar. They're a
Oh, yeah.
collective energy or entity. I'm not entirely sure how they classify themselves fully, but they're doing Countdown to Contact, this year. And first contact theoretically is going to be possibly 2026. They're starting to prepare everybody because people have been healing and clearing out a whole bunch of collective energies.
Yes. And I think that's another reason why that I have such a passion in my heart to wake up other people to their gifts, because it gives people back their power. That's literally what it does. You know, and I hate to say this, but like other like religions or philosophies and things like that, they give you the power away. But here in spiritual, metaphysical, new age, whatever you want to call it, you get the power back. You can do, basically keep on doing you. And I just feel like so many people are waking up to this. And I think it is because, what we're about to embark on, possibly. I've been seeing that.
And I keep hearing a lot of things about, the mass awakening and everything coming in. So there's a whole lot of people who are definitely going to be needing, both your and my services and so many others because, oh, they're going to need to figure out for themselves, what to believe.
Yes. And another thing too is that I feel like even on, I'm not sure, a broader sense of it, is that it's going to be a battle of like fear, versus like love, if you will. And it's almost like the more that you are down your spiritual path or whatever, you understand that spiritual side of you, understand that, there's only two choices that you can make in life, choices based out of fear, choices based out of love. And so, and then also, when you choose love, you're coming from a higher vibrational state, and that's going to allow you to connect more to yourself, your intuition, your spirit guides, all that stuff, to higher consciousness, if you will. But then when you choose to make decisions based off of fear, or you get into that fear mindset, where a lot of times, our society or, even global stuff takes us, that's going to make you like scared, depressed. That's going to like bring you down. And I don't know why, but I felt like guided to say that. So we want to make sure that we're like raising our vibration up. We're coming from a place of love and things like that. And so even on the bare minimum level with what I'm basically trying to do within my community and my outreach and stuff like that, is just on that level, just making sure people aren't embracing the fear, that people are not getting like all caught up in that, because that can just, oh, that can make you sick
Oh
too.
yeah, definitely. And A lot of the stuff that we fear is just an illusion anyways, because we tend to make mountains out of molehills regardless, and based off of our past experiences, based off of, traumatic incidences and everything. And, a lot of it just comes back. And if we end that cycle, we see the love and compassion through it.
Oh, and that's, I absolutely love that you said that too, because I love fear, and then you do it anyways. You feel the fear and then you do it anyways. And it kind of reminds me too of something that I learned and I never forgot about it, but it's like, somewhat, so oftentimes we are we're either excited or we are nervous about like an outcome of something. But it's so funny because I got taught that it has the same energetic vibration. When you're excited about the outcome or you are nervous about the outcome, I feel like those are the two ones that carry the same vibration. But basically, one of them is expecting a good outcome and one is expecting a bad outcome. But they're both the same energetic vibration, which is that how you're looking at it.
Yeah, and they can definitely feel the same. I've likened my spiritual journey as a very much a roller coaster ride. And if I get the feeling where, you're going to the top and you see the drop and you have that pause right at the crest and you know it's going to be a wild ride, I often get that feeling, that apprehension before a leap of faith, a next step in my journey and everything. And it's like, for a long time, I confused it with fear and anxiety. And it's like, no, that's actually excitement. I had to shift my perspective on it. It's like, oh, because I was too deep in my own intrusive thoughts and negative thinking to be like, oh, this is going to be a bad pattern. When in reality, it's like, oh, no, that is unleashing you because you're scared of the unknown right now. Let's break you of that.
Oh my gosh, I just love that. And then you could actually feel it. But I think that's a great analogy, at the top of the roller coaster, and about to take that plunge, and I think it's like two ways of doing it. You could actually just like embrace it, like be one of those crazy people that put their hands up in the air. I don't think I could do that. Or you could be one of them that's just like white knuckling it, and it's like, no, come on, why not just enjoy the ride? And I know it might be a crazy ride, and find the beauty or the little things in between those storms that you're having. And you might be like, oh, but Heather, there is nothing good, but there can be something good. Like one of my good friends actually just got diagnosed with breast cancer, and it's really hard to watch this because it does seem like it was caught really late. But one thing that I like commented is like, wait a second, like, is she going to help out somebody else now? Is somebody else going to get tested, is, and maybe catch it in time? There are some good things that can come out of bad things. We just have to almost like train our brain to look for them.
Oh yeah, and it's way too easy to just automatically go with the negative right in your face.
Yes. And you know what that reminds me of? I was in Florida and my husband was in my office, and I would just put it, I just moved back to Michigan and he was putting up some shelves. And I'll never forget this because I just get, bombarded with text messages and phone calls, and my phone was off or whatever like that. He was freaking out. And finally I got him on the phone and he's like, oh my God, you're okay. You're okay. You're okay. And I'm like, yes, I'm fine. Like, what's going on? He was like, well, I was in your office and I was trying to put up the shelves and a deck of your cards fell out. Okay. And it was my mediumship deck. And one of the cards, only one card, fell face forward, face up. And it said, I'm sorry that I had to leave that way. And he was like, and it just freaked me out. He was like, because I want to make sure that like you're okay and stuff like that. I want to make sure that you're not going to pass away. And then I was like, why did your mind go there? I was like, because my mind wouldn't have went there. I'm like, my mind went to the dog that you lost when you were a kid, to one of your soldiers that you were in the army with that passed away. Like, why is it that all of a sudden you go to the negative thing like that? I was like, that shows you how your brain works, because that's not how my brain works. My brain goes to who on the other side is trying to communicate with me, who is trying to send me this message, and then try to figure out who pops into my head. Not like, oh my gosh, my wife is away from me and she's going to pass.
He went with the knee-jerk reaction. Did he ever calm down to figure out who that message might have been from?
No, I have my things. I think it's either the dog or the one that he lost in the army. But we just had this conversation on my podcast recently. He was on, and it was so funny because he was downstairs and it was in the middle of the night. He got up to get a glass of water and he just does a little walk around the first floor, I guess, to make sure everything's okay. And as he walked into the living room, he had this thought that he should go check his email. And so his email's in the library downstairs. So he turned around and started walking towards the library. And as soon as like he got close, the computer and everything, the screen just turned on by itself. So my husband was like, "Oh, okay, I don't really need to be checking my email. I'm good." And then he came right back upstairs. And I love this because I was like, "Oh, I was like, you could think of it two different ways. Like the first thing is like that was scary, you know, like there's a demon in my library, which is probably very unlikely, you know, or second off, maybe it was a helpful spirit. Maybe they were like, "Oh, you need to check your email here. You know, let me help you out with that, you know?" Or maybe the freaking spirit was checking its email, you know? And so there's so many ways to look at it. And he's like, "Oh my gosh," he's like, he ended up saying, he's like, "I need to train myself to think the way that you think." And I'm like, yes, because that's the thing, is 99% of the time, you know, that's my experience, is that it's your past loved one reaching out to you. You don't have to be scared of it. It's gonna be okay.
And I see that as confirmation, like, hey, I'm really here. This is all real. Hello.
Yes. And then I tell him, I'll be like, you know what? You can set like what boundaries and stuff like that with your spiritual realm people and stuff like that. And so they know not to come to me at 3 o'clock in the morning when I'm getting out of bed because, man, I think I am so strong in my spiritual faith. But if I am groggy and I just woke up and I'm going to the bathroom and all of a suddenly like a light's going to turn on or something else, like, you know, I'm only human, man. I'm going to like pee my pants or something.
My daughter, my husband and kids will actually join me in with some of the rituals that I do and everything. And my daughter was like, I don't know if I believe any of this in the beginning. And we bought some stuffed animals to represent some of our guides and everything for each of the kids to hug and, you know, whatnot. And one night she woke up and one of the stuffed animals was kind of floating there and then dropped as soon as she noticed it. And it's like, you wanted proof that magic is real. There you go.
Oh my God, how old is your daughter?
She's 10 now, but I think she was 6 at the time, and she was like, "Oh, that was weird." She told me about it in the morning when I woke her up.
Oh my God. I am so speechless on that. Like, oh my God, that is like a really cool freaking experience.
Like, why didn't you immediately come in? That is so cool.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like I have my son, but he's still like he doesn't really talk about it. Like he's helped me out on some of like the in-person events that I've had, but he's not really into this. So that's really awesome that your daughter and your son are both into it. That is so neat.
And like she's very empathetic anyways. She'll feel when my father-in-law would come around because he passed away a few years ago. She actually met him when she was 1 and a half, and would talk to him on Facebook Messenger, and she just all of a sudden started, "I miss grandpa." And it would, of course, my husband would just start, you know, tearing up and everything. And her sister didn't understand what was going on, but we would talk to her and be like, "Hey, it's because he's here and you sense him and you miss him. It's okay." And now it's not the tears, it's just, "Oh, I'm feeling grandpa."
Yes, I know. Like it's so funny because like once you start like getting the signs or you start, you know, feeling sensitive enough to be able to, you know, talk to them or even just to feel them around, and then it kind of comes just like, okay, we still have this relationship, you just don't have a body. Like it's so funny. I started like going on to this concept, which is like, you know, stop being discriminatory against the living impaired, okay? Just because they don't have a body doesn't mean that they can't be a part of your everyday life, okay? Like so now you need to have a body in order to be part of your like tribe and be part of your family. And now it's like my grandmother was my everything when she passed away. And I ended up getting really close to her even after she passed. But now grandma's chopped liver. Now it's all about mom. And then someone else is going to pass away. And then it's going to be like, oh, that's just mom. That's just grandma. No big deal.
Like the novelty may have worn off, but they're still part of your spiritual team and they love you deeply. And that goes for everyone. Because I love how you said living impaired. That is a new way of looking at it. I love it.
I do. I just think it's so funny. I think it came from the movie Casper. I watched that recently, and then I was like, yes, that's exactly what it is. And it's like it's kind of unfair that we treat them so badly. It's like I like so many people are scared of it, and they're always like, oh, it's a demon, it's whatever. Okay, come on now, really. You know, is a demon going to like send you a coin, and then when you pick up the coin, you turn it over, and that's the year that so and so passed, or that's their birthday, you know? Like, because that was one of the big ways that spirit communicates with me is through coins, but I always look at the year on the coin because that gives it extra oomph. And once spirit knows that you are going to be looking at the years on the coins, they're going to start making them a little bit more relatable. In fact, I had this one coin, and I had one, two coins. I had two coins in my closet that came out of nowhere. And I was like, wow, one of them was, I believe, 2022, which is the year that my Aunt Betty passed away. And then all of a sudden, this other one, it was like 1986. And I was like, I don't even understand what 1986 is. So I just kept it on my desk for a little while. And I asked my cousin, I was like, man, you know, I think your mom's trying to contact me. What year were you born? And he didn't tell me, blah, 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 blah. I was having dreams about him and my aunt. And then finally, I get the answer. And he was born in 1986. And 2022 is when his mom passed away, my aunt. And I'm like, oh my God. And he was going through such a rough time. He had gotten evicted out of his place and everything else like that, and fired from his job and stuff. And I'm like, dude, she's talking to you. I just think it's so cool.
And they're like, hey, he needs support any which way you can.
Yes. And that's the thing is like, have you noticed too that people do not ask for help? I am like, oh my gosh, like there, wait, I get it. You might not have family and friends that you can rely on, you know, like ditto here, baby, right? I get you, right? But it's like you have the spiritual team. Don't underestimate what they can do.
Well, the whole I have to do it all on my own or else it won't get done is a trauma response. It's just another thing we got to heal. And that's one thing my guides broke me early on. It's like, you're going to ask for help every single day with us. You're going to give us consent every single day. So every morning and every evening, it's like, all right, y'all, I ask for help with everything going on. I accept help with everything going on because I don't know everything going on. So lay it on me.
I am stealing that. I am stealing that. I didn't even know that was possible. I'm going to write down, what do I need help with? Every freaking thing is what I need help with. Everything. You can take the wheel. You know, and here's another concept too that I had thought of too is like spirit is your Uber. You know, so it's like you tell spirit where you want to go and then they drive you know? So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let like spirit take the wheel. Like Jesus take the wheel, but it's Uber spirit take the Uber and they have free range. You can do whatever. It could be tough though, because they want to like take they want to make some changes in your life that maybe you're not really wanting because you're resistant to it because you are in your comfort zone. So be careful sometimes, but I love that.
Oh yeah.
Everything.
I made a decision several years ago, over three now, to quit drinking. And my gifts have opened up ever since. It was just like, holy crap, because I was using alcohol to numb my empathy and other gifts that were creeping in and dealing with my own, crap. And once I
Well,
started, thank you.
congratulations.
Once I started that journey of healing all my crap, because I had to sit with it and work through it. Everything got better. All my relationships got better. And those that left were, they weren't my people anyways.
That's such a good topic, not a good topic. Like I'm sorry that it went through, you went through like a lot of crap and stuff like that, but I've noticed that, you know, all spiritual people have, we've had such a rough upbringings, you know, we've had a lot of trauma, we have all this stuff. And it's like, yes, because we have a big light inside of us. You know, we have this light, whether or not you want to recognize it, you do. And God source, you know, whoever, whatever you want to call it, they're not going to put the light in other light areas. They're going to put light in the dark areas because it's our job to almost like light it up. And how we light it up is just by being ourselves, basically, you know, going through our own journey. And then it's almost like, you know, you will draw people to you like moths to a flame, and you know, so I love that.
Yeah, and we don't even have to be like, reaching out and telling people about how powerful they really are, unless that's what they need to hear and they're open to it. But just by living by example and our light interacts with other people and then nurtures, the seeds of growth within them too. And they're just like, I want that. And then eventually they'll wake up to it and be ready for it and be like, oh, I have it already. I didn't know.
Oh my gosh. And that kind of reminds me too of like how my journey progressed after, I started opening up. And the thing is, like before, I was always like broke. I never ever had enough money. I was living in a basement, a little basement apartment. My car was always messing up. I had like, I think I bought like my car for like $500, didn't have much. I was working at a childcare center. I was been a teacher for like 10 years, but I was always getting burnt out. Kids are energy vampires. And also, if you're an empath at a childcare center, it's tough. Well, what ended up happening was I started getting more confidence, and then I started trusting more, and I started like applying for jobs that scared me, and then that job led me to another job, which ended up like tripling my income, and then all of a sudden, I took a chance, and then all of a sudden, I got a house on the freaking lake, and I'm like, are you serious? I just went from living in a basement to like having this beautiful view outside my door. Once that started happening, me and my husband were dating a little bit before. About 6 months before we started, before we got married. But before then, I was attracting like a whole bunch of bad people. It was horrible relationships, people hurting me, gaslighting me, all these things, so much abuse. And then all of a sudden, I have this beautiful marriage. And then what ended up happening was my son, who was getting suspended from school all the time, having such rough times, and blah, 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 blah. All of a sudden, he starts changing. And now all of a sudden, he grew up into this wonderful young man that I am like, are you serious? Did not see that coming when you were getting suspended from school, expelled, all these things. And so I'm like, wow, when I tell people that your spiritual side can like change your life, it is because it's the biggest part of you. And then once you start opening up to that, bam, it can help out every single area of your life. I have more money, more happiness, more health. Oh my gosh, no more seizures. And it was so funny too. I just found out last year what caused my seizures. I could not believe this because I go into the doctors for an earache. Long story short, the doctor's like, I think you have narcolepsy. And I'm like, they tested me 10 years ago for narcolepsy. I do not have narcolepsy. He's like, you need to do the test again. Well, now I don't have anxiety anymore. Now I'm way more calmer than I ever was. Go and do the test. Sure enough, I am like a very, very good narcoleptic. I can get into a dream state in about a minute and a half. And so what ended up happening, those weren't seizures. Those were cataplexy attacks caused by narcolepsy because I don't lose consciousness when I had my seizures. And oftentimes a seizure disorder is often diagnosed instead of narcolepsy. But it was so cool because Spirit gave me that closure after about 10, 12 so years afterwards. But I would not have went down my spiritual path unless the doctors couldn't find it out. It was so clearly narcolepsy. I'm looking back on it and I'm like, you guys were really stupid, okay? Like I have sleep trauma. That's the reason why I didn't fall asleep during the testing. And it was so funny. It was so clear that this is what it was. But if spirit would have allowed the doctors to diagnose me with it, I don't know if I would have went down my spiritual path. I would never have started meditating with the monks. I would never have started going down trying to reach out to psychics and things like that. So I'm so incredibly grateful that they finally gave me the conclusion, the diagnosis, like I said, just like a year or two ago. So it's another little check mark with things happen for a reason, almost like to keep on trusting the process. You just never know where it's going to go.
Well, and like you said, your anxiety and everything has diminished so greatly that they were actually able to administer the test properly and, actively diagnose you. And if you hadn't gone through your journey and all the healing that you've done, you would have still had those high anxiety responses that kept you from even sleeping.
See, that's a great point. Yeah, because I realized I was like, oh my gosh, a lot of my trauma too happened at night and I didn't realize it. And it's so funny, I've had narcolepsy since I was in first grade because I was sleeping during class and I could not stay awake. And then I just remember all these mean judgments everybody would make about me and everything else like that because I was always sleeping and falling asleep. And now I look back and I give myself love because it's like there was a reason for this. But because that started at such a young age, I was traumatized my whole entire life. And so you're right, you have to do a little bit of that healing. And I'm super happy that I did because now I'm like, yay, I got my diagnosis. Like, that's awesome. Like, you get some answers. You're not always going to get the answers that you seek. But when you do, I know that a lot of times it can make us really happy.
Oh yeah, definitely. And you can look back and be like, holy cow, you can see point A to now. And you can even see beyond and see a brighter future than you could back when you started. And that's phenomenal.
And so that's why I want to give hope to everybody. It's like, hey, keep on trusting it. Hindsight's 2020 a little bit. You can look back, but you can also look forward too and see, where you're going. And then you can look at, and like you said too, get help in every area of your life if you need that complete life makeover. And I don't know why, but I feel like a Tony Robbins energy coming through right now, being like, hey, make 2024 your freaking year, you know? Make this the best life you've ever lived, you know? Overcome these obstacles now. Try and get into that good mindset because, man, your whole entire life can change. Like I'm like literally one of them. Like everybody in my family is like, Heather, your transformation is incredible. They're like, and if anybody ever deserved it, it was you, because it's always the nice person finishes last. It's always like, you know, almost like the nice guy, you know, gets the shortest stick or whatever. It's the same thing for empaths, for people who are very sensitive and things like that. I was called a crybaby. I was called all these names and stuff like that. You're just too sensitive. Yeah. And guess what? My sensitive is my superpower, because now I use that sensitivity to be able to connect with spirit guides, past loved ones, and angels now. So, ha.
Yep. Empathy is definitely a superpower.
Yes, it's like I know what you're feeling, even though you're not thinking it. No, yeah, even though you're just thinking it.
And trying to rewire somebody's thinking when they're still trying to figure all that out can be very difficult, but it is so worth it.
Yes, it really is.
And you help people do just that with your academy.
Oh, yes, I do, because I was like, you know what? We need to have a place where we can have a sacred space, you know, to where we don't feel judged or whatever, to open up to our intuition. And I even say psychic and mediumship abilities too, because if you open up to all that, you're going to understand how spirit communicates with you. You're going to make better decisions and easier. And then who knows where you can lead. Just because you open up to your psychic and mediumship abilities doesn't mean you have to be a reader, you know, you're just going to understand how the communication process works. So I needed to create a place where we can have that non-judgmental space. And so we have it in the community and we have amazing people that are there. So we're always practicing, and then we get together about 4 times a month. You know, we have guest speakers coming in to talk about certain topics and everything else. And then I have tons of resources inside of the academy to where it's like you go to the resource lab and learn about intuition. You can go into like this area, the student lounge, and you can learn about shows you can watch and podcasts. And it's a whole entire just comprehensive academy that I absolutely love. And we always get the best people in there. I love my academy so much.
So where can people find it and find you?
Oh yes. Well, you can always find me. I always hang out on Facebook, so Heather Danielle Psychic Medium there. Or if you want to check out my website, it's therealheatherdanielle.com, and then you can just click on the Spiritual AF Academy.
Awesome. And I definitely want to talk about your book a little bit.
Oh, yeah, and it's so funny because it kind of intertwines with everything we were talking about. So I wrote a book called Anxiety to Angels. And wow, it's because I was full of freaking anxiety. And then I go in the book about the 12 steps basically that I use to go from ridden with anxiety to communicating with the angels. And basically I created the book. It's, you know, not very long to read and stuff like that, but very short to the point with practical things that you do right now, the very exact same steps that I did in order to go from anxiety to communicating with angels.
Excellent. I am definitely going to be putting all the links in the description for the episode. Is there anything that you or your guides would like to, anything else you'd like to say?
You know, it's so funny because I've never been asked that before, and I decided to like really tune in my guides, and I get really emotional. And I definitely feel like it really resonated with someone today. Feel free to reach out, shoot me an email. I'm here, I'm happy to help, but I am getting take the first step. You know, there's a step that you've been meaning to take, so you need to take that step. So whether it's going to be signing up for that course, that workshop, sending that email out, doing whatever it is, take one small little baby step, hit that send button, all right? And it's going to be okay. Everything in life can be undone. Like it's okay. It's not, if it's not meant to happen, if God does not want it to happen, then it won't. Okay. That email will get stuck in limbo land. Little things will happen. So just go ahead and trust the process, hit send, do it. And if it goes through, that's your sign that it's meant to happen.
And small steps add up to huge results.
They really do. They really do. Yep. Just what is it? I think it's Lao Tzu says the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one single step. Love it.
So take that chance on yourself, whoever's listening, everyone who's listening.
Yes, everyone, you know what? You know, everybody just take one step towards whatever it is. You know, even me and Nikki are going to do that too. I'm going to think about what my next step is.
I do that every day.
Yes. Is it we're always overachievers. We're always the ones that are working on personal development, always trying to make ourselves better. So definitely.
Thank you so much for being on the show today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
It really has. And thank you so much. I've had so much fun talking to you, and I just want to say thank you.
Thank you for joining me today as we explore what makes us uniquely loved. Be sure to subscribe. More adventure awaits. For more articles and to work with me as your personal guide, go to www.techwitchlayer.com. Always remember, you are accepted. You are valid. You are loved.